Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Jay Robb as my special expert guest. Jay Robb is a clinical nutritionist with over 27 years' experience in his field. He is the CEO and owner of Jay Robb Enterprises, a multi-million dollar California-based nutrition company famous for its protein powders, books, and nutritional products. Jay is the author of several best-selling books, including The Fruit Flush 3-Day Detox, The Fruit Diet, and The Fat-Burning Diet. He is also a featured columnist for Best Body and Natural Bodybuilding magazines. Jay Robb holds a lifetime personal training certificate with the National Gym Association for his contributions in the creation of their personal training certification program. He teaches sports nutrition classes in the San Diego area and has conducted health and diet seminars throughout the nation. Good morning, Jay, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Jay, you're a celebrity in the industry, and we don't see a lot of your products up in Canada, and I don't know if they are distributed internationally in other countries, but could you tell us about yourself, maybe a little personal background, and how you got into this great industry called the health and fitness industry?
Oh, I'd love to share that. I really started back in 1966 at the age of 13 making protein shakes. I needed some actual extra nutrition to help me with my bodybuilding workout. And I just started training, and so I would make these shakes. And that was my first introduction to weight training and the whole health industry and how to put a protein drink or protein shake together. Later on, it progressed into my heavy involvement in bodybuilding and then actually natural or drug-free bodybuilding in the 70s, especially mid-70s and later, to get me to 1978, where I developed a pre-diabetic condition called reactive hypoglycemia. It was horrendously devastating to me, and I collapsed one day, just exhausted, mentally confused, and thought I was having a total breakdown. But it turned my life around because I asked God to put me on the right course, direct me where I needed to go and how I needed to change my life and diet so that I could be as healthy and fit as possible. So for 2 years, I went that route, and I let God open all the doors I needed to. I fully recovered my health and beyond, and by 1980, I opened up my first fitness club and have never looked back. I've owned two clubs in the process, sold them, and our current company just passed its 20th year mark, J. Robb Enterprises Incorporated, and we are excited because we can offer so much, and I can write books and just share the things I've learned along the way with other people.
That's a fantastic story. You know, what comes to mind, Jay, because I'm a natural bodybuilder, drug-free lifetime, and love bodybuilding.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't know that you had that bodybuilding past, but I want to ask you, where did you find the kudos, the strength, the courage not to do the drugs in the 70s when they were legal, when they were trendy, and everybody was doing them?
Wow, that was an easy one. I was training at home off and on with a friend of mine, and we joined a gym. And in that gym, we were introduced to steroids. It was a heavy user's gym. And they were just prolific everywhere. Just everybody was on the juice. There was anybody in there. And it was an eye-opener because it was like we were given a sight of something, a temptation, like, wow, we can look like this if we take the juice, if we're going to step over the line and do that. And we were so impressed by that and impressionable at the time also that the temptation got to me, got to my friend and many others in there. And we stepped into the scene and gave it a shot. And no pun intended there, but we actually were using Dianabol at the time. You're right, they were legal back then. You could go to your doctor if you wanted to. We just bought them at the gym because we could do that back then. And it was just mind-boggling what happened to me over the next 5 to 6 weeks and how I just blew up with muscular size like never. It was like I trained 2 years in a matter of 4 weeks. For the size and body fat loss and density and strength that I had attained. And I said, oh, my God, no wonder people love these things. But fortunately for me, by the end of that six-week cycle, first cycle I'd ever done, I didn't feel right. I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good inside, meaning mentally, thinking I feel like I'm cheating. I was on the edge of something here, and this isn't quite right. And I didn't physically feel well. It actually had a negative effect on me. I was doing Dianabol, which has to go through the liver, and I believe it made me toxic, and I was eating pretty good at the time. And I did not like the toxic feeling, and I looked around and realized I had stepped into something that was changing me. I had altered my mental psyche in a matter of 5 to 6 weeks and become very self-centered, and I saw that happening in the gym. So at that moment, I said, you know, God does not want this. I don't want this. I took a stand right there and eventually left that gym and started my own fitness club 2 blocks away from this club and took a stand against drugs when people didn't even really know what they were. And I said, we're against drugs. We're against steroids. Here's what they do. Here's what's going on. And fortunately, we got a huge following for that. And the other gentleman went out of business in a matter of a couple of years. And so we prospered. I was so thrilled with that. We started the first drug-tested contest in America. I promoted, competed, and it was fun, and it was nice to see a change in that. So that's what got me into it and motivated me to go through that and to be able to stop the temptation. And I've stuck with that by writing for Natural Bodybuilding and so on. I've just kept on that path. I know they're not right. It's not right to take them.
Right on, right on. Now, what about the sport today? What do you think about bodybuilding as a cult? What's happened to it, and how do we get it back on track?
Wow, that is a tough question. I've been, involved here, let's see, what is this, 28 straight years now. And I've seen even the natural bodybuilding scene diminish and struggle at times because of lack of, you know, interest, and people are confused. They still don't know, some people don't know the difference between a drugged physique and a natural one. It still has, still riddled with a lot of egos in the sport. It's a challenge sport, I'm not going to deny it. But it still thrives, and I still push and promote it, and I still write books about it. I've got a new book coming out on it because I want the young guys, this is my direction with it, I want the young guys out there to know that there's a difference, and don't succumb to that temptation. Here in Southern California, you can go across the border to Mexico. There's ways you can get the juice anytime. It's not a good thing. It puts a person in the wrong direction. I want to see the sport uplifted and as many people involved. And I always think it'll be a cult following anyway. I don't ever see it becoming mainstream because it's so personalized it's not for everyone, but it's so beautiful. I just love the sport of bodybuilding. It's ever since I touched a barbell, I've loved it, and that's why I stay in it and promote it.
That's fantastic. You know, I started at 12. My mom ordered the Charles Atlas course, the dynamic tension, for my 12th birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I got into reading Ben Weider magazines, and Arnold was my hero. And
oh, me too.
So, and Steve Reeves was a man I always liked. And, you know, that kind, and Frank Zane, and those natural or more natural-looking physiques.
Yeah,
there's something about muscle, isn't there, that just attracts young guys to it?
Oh, it is because, it just looks good, but it signifies power. Women are attracted to it. And it changes your life when you take care of your body like that. It's like you're no longer thinking of hiding it. You're comfortable not thinking about it because you don't have to anymore.
That's a great point. That's an excellent point. Now, I'm thinking you're 13 making these shakes, and I love shakes, and I'm really big on a pre- and a post-workout shake. We have nighttime shakes, and we have morning shakes, and we've raised all our kids on shakes and all the stuff and goodies you put in. But tell us about your product line and why you've made protein. It seems as if the protein powder that you make, which by the way we've tried and is excellent.
Oh, thank you.
It seems as if you've made that protein powder the anchor of your entire product line. Is that true?
Yes, it is. We are considered the protein kings. That's what we focus on. That's the direction the Nine Estates has elevated us to, is when they want the best protein on the planet and the best tasting protein on the planet, the name J-Rob comes up. That's how we've positioned ourselves, and that started out without really initially focusing on protein, because we founded a company in 1988, and I was writing books. I wanted to educate people, and that's what I was doing. I was doing seminars. I wanted to educate them about health, fitness, bodybuilding, and just how to do it, how to feel better, look better, and so on. So that's how we started in 88. And I was sharing this with people, and I realized in a very short period of time that I could not recommend a protein powder that was on the market at that time that I was comfortable with all the ingredients that were in there, because so many of them had fructose, artificial sweeteners, artificial flavors, fluff stuff, sugars, brown sugar. It was just strange, and I thought, well, I can't suggest these to the people I care about or anybody else that I'm trying to educate. I said, what am I going to do? I could just be frustrated or just say, well, this is the best I can find. And I said, no, I want the absolute best that is possible. And I knew I had to control the carbs, even though people love carbs back then. I knew it because I was working on my next book, which was coming up on carb control. So we developed our own egg white protein that had no carbs. It tastes fantastic. And that was our first product launch. We developed in 89 and launched it in 1990. And it took a while for it to become a hit, but it became a hit over time once the health food industry and everyone realized what they were getting. And they were actually getting what they paid for a change, instead of some fluffed up, artificially colored and flavored product. And that set our pace right there. I knew our destiny was sealed, and we went right into whey when it was available 4 years later, and developed a unique flavoring system using the herb stevia. It was outlawed in America. The FDA would not allow it to be imported. But we, once that import was lifted and could put it in a supplement, we started formulating, and bingo, we hit a home run. Nothing artificial in there, just using an herb, and we couldn't even claim it. But it was so impacting for our particular following, and it word just spread like wildfire, and people said, well, this tastes great, and there's no junk in it. And the rest is basically history. We've been on top ever since then, and that was the mid-90s. We feel very, very blessed to be in this position, and I'm going to give God a lot of the credit, because I pray a lot. I'm not going to deny that.
That's fantastic. You know, you've got a whole selection there of proteins, and maybe just in a nutshell, why would someone choose the whey and not the egg white, or when would you recommend the egg white or the soy as an alternative? You've got all three there. Do you see that people should use all three? Do you think that the whey isolate is supreme? What are your thoughts on that, Jay?
Oh, that's a great question, Corey, and we're asked this frequently. Of the three proteins that you described, there's actually another one, a rice protein, that we're actually getting ready to launch also that I'll mention. Of those, the most popular, by far, due to the marketing and advertising in America, is whey protein. So our whey protein isolate, which is the top of the top of the top, nothing gets better than what we can put in there currently. And that probably was going to rule by popularity, but by amino acid structure, it's very close and very similar to egg white protein. They're not that far off in amino acid balance and how they will affect human nutrition, human muscular growth, and so on. And actually, egg white slightly inches out whey in the amino acid structure. A lot of people don't know that, but it's so subtle it doesn't really matter. What we provide to people, what we tell people, is that use the whey because we feel it's easier to flavor and has incredible taste, and it's a powerful amino acid structure. But if you're dairy sensitive, if you cannot tolerate dairy products very well, then we suggest they use our egg white protein, and that's how it's really promoted. We usually go right to whey unless that person is dairy sensitive, and then they can use the egg. And if a person is a female and they are opposed to egg and or whey, we would steer them towards our soy. And coming soon, in the next 60 days, we'll have our whole grain sprouted brown rice protein. Hopefully it'll be organic soon. That's coming out soon. That has a great amino acid structure that I'm going to be suggesting over soy protein, because soy sometimes has a negative impact, especially on men, and rice will not exhibit that and has a good amino acid structure. So in order, I would go with the whey. If a person is dairy sensitive, we go with the egg white. If they are a female and are opposed to either one of those, they want to be vegan, they can choose soy. I would steer them towards our rice protein though next. So in the order, it would be whey, egg, rice, and then soy.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, in Canada, Health Canada has forbidden the use of recombinant growth hormone. It's illegal to inject cattle in Canada, as I'm sure
Hallelujah.
You well know, and in other countries. But in America, it's not. So maybe could you comment about what you know about what happens to the animals? And possibly, because I've been asked this question too, Jay, we take the milk from these animals, and we know how they're being fed, and it's not ideal, nor are they being raised ideally. They're not like buffalo in the wild.
Yes.
And so we got this milk, and then we process it without heat, and we filter it and extract the amino acids, and we get this whey. Now, is there any evidence that those cattle that produced that milk who were injected with bovine growth hormone, is there any evidence that you know that taking that whey protein is going to foul up my chemistry or damage me in any way? Because, as you know, you've probably been asked this question too.
Oh, we're asked it frequently. There are no conclusive, and I have to be honest with you, there's no super conclusive research studies at this time, but they're working on them, to show that the use of RBGH, or recombinant bovine growth hormone, in cows can affect human beings in a hypernegative way. But with that said, on the other hand, we do this for twofold because, one, we know that the milk does contain, once a cow is treated, that cow will produce up to 30% more milk. That's the first problem. So they're being injected with something, mistreated, and now they're going into mass production, which is very unnatural for them. That milk, we know, has synthetic hormones in it that have to and are transferred into the human body. Synthetic hormones of this nature are not supposed to be in the human body, so studies or no studies, we know that those have a negative impact. It's just a matter of time for the research can surface showing the problems. And right now, I believe there's a stronghold in America because they want to hold out and say, no, there's not a whole lot of difference. We can't find that evidence. But that's going to change once the whole industry changes. Those studies are going to start surfacing that are now being suppressed, in my opinion. And we're going to see a completely different research evolvement in a very short period of time. Common sense, in all honesty, tells me we don't want to, one, do this to the animals, and two, it's not right, and three, we know that that's being transferred over. So if you can choose between that, why not make the choice? And we took a stand years ago. We were the first company in America to take a stand and say, we are not going to produce a whey protein unless it's from RBGH-free milk originally. And nobody would touch that because it was too expensive, but we didn't care. We were willing to take less of a profit to do this and charge higher for our protein. And fortunately, we figured out people appreciated that. And it's been huge, a huge turnover now in the industry. And I predict in the next 2 or 3 years that America is going to change. And we're going to see, just like Canada and some of these other countries where we're having to get our way from, we'll step up to the plate and no longer inject their cows.
Right on. Well said. The evidence seems to be mixed, you know, depending upon who you ask. And I guess if the cattle are not experiencing health as a consequence of their treatment, it would be logical to assume by inference that anything that they produce might affect us downstream, correct?
That's correct. So, yeah, and they won't. They have a short lifespan, what they do, but we need longer studies or long-term studies. But the biggest concern for me is when you get a synthetic hormone in concentration in milk, you know, then you start concentrating that down into concentrated, you know, like whey. I mean, it's a very concentrated product. You know, you're going to concentrate everything as you go, and that's not a great thing, especially when you're dealing with synthetics. And synthetic hormones are not the greatest thing in the world to mess with.
Well, like the bodybuilders who took injections of growth hormone, and not just muscles grew, but also tumors and everything else that was inside of their body.
Yeah, when you start doing that was actually mimicking. You know, human growth hormone, you know, identical. Where this, you're looking at a bovine growth hormone going into a human body, which is another whole different situation, combined with all the dairy products that could be laced with it on top of it, or any other animals that are being injected this way that you're consuming in America. You got a buildup, and just, you know, it's the combined amounts that could add up to something detrimental.
You know, I just did a recent interview with Ronald Schmidt, who's the author of Traditional Foods Are Your Best Medicine, as a naturopath. Now, he's really big on raw dairy and very much involved in the politics of why we can't buy raw milk, and believes that the opposite is true. Are you a believer that if you can get good, clean dairy products such as cottage cheese or yogurt and milk, that you can consume it raw and it would be actually beneficial to you?
Yes, I do. I'm a strong supporter of that. Here in Southern California, gosh, many years ago, there was no problem. We had full access to raw dairy products every year they try to clamp down on that. And I remember in the 80s it became even tougher. The laws were stricter. Any type of a outbreak of any contamination, any salmonella, anything that was actually transferred over at any time was blown way out of proportion, like this was some major health hazard. And I thought that was so ridiculous. I said, because this is raw dairy products. We've used these things for 100 years now. We know that they support growth and health the best. Once you pasteurize them, we know they're not as good. We know that many intrinsic factors are destroyed, the enzymes and so on, but it's just it's just slightly altered. We want to get raw products. I push for that, and I believe that they are very beneficial. We've seen it in Charlotte Gerson, a friend of mine that from years ago does a cancer clinic, and she has it now in Mexico. They use raw milk, and they make it into raw yogurt and kefir and so on because they know raw is the only way to go, especially when someone is very debilitated. The digestive factors alone warrant keeping dairy products raw, and I don't think the health hazards are there for people. Even it's overblown, even eating raw eggs and so on, I think it's overblown. As a bodybuilder through the 60s and 70s, raw eggs, we were doing 6-12 a day.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've never had, I'm not saying I could never get ill or anything like that, never had salmonella, never had any of that. I know some people have, and I'm not negate that fact. I can only speak personally, though, in this particular case.
Now, we met at the Anaheim show, and Tracy and I were very pleased to meet you and your people, very positive environment, very up and enthusiastic. The atmosphere was great. But, you look good. You take care of yourself, and obviously you train and feed yourself. I'm just curious, Jay, can you give us some insight about your own personal supplement program? What products do you take on a regular basis?
Oh, I'm a big advocate. Glad you asked that. That's nice. Some people never ask that. I'm a big advocate of vitamin C. I like vitamin C and lysine because of the factors that they will help prevent and or reverse heart disease. A lot of research on that from the Dr. Rath Research Institute. Taking those, 3 grams of C at least a day, lysine at least 1,000 milligrams, really build up a strong immune system boost and make the cells extremely strong, which stops the transfer of any type of diseases. It also stops the buildup of plaque, arterial plaque, due to LDL adhering to the artery walls in the body, because that's usually sealing up leaks in the actual artery wall because of vitamin C deficiency. It's horrible, but it's so simple. So I'm a big advocate of C, and I take that at least 3 grams a day, if not more. Like I said, 1,000 milligrams of lysine, wonderful. I do protein. Still my favorite of all supplements to take is protein. No matter what I do, if I cycle off anything else, I almost never cycle off protein powder. I will take 2 to 3 ounces a day, almost any given day, and I make those into protein drinks in a whole variety of ways. Other supplements that I love, I like to take sweet dairy whey. Sweet dairy whey is the whey, before we filter our whey to get it fractionated or to actually extract the protein portion of liquid whey, we actually have liquid dairy whey that we dry, and that contains all immune-boosting factors and lactose, which feeds lactobacteria in the colon. I'm really big on taking that particular supplement to feed the lactobacteria in the colon and keep the immune system boosted high. The immune-boosting properties are still in whey protein, but they're even higher in a raw or crude sweet dairy whey. So that's a big one for me there. I like kelp. We don't even offer it, but I like to take kelp just for the natural iodine. General multiple vitamin, I rotate on and off on those because I've taken supplements for so many years and I eat so well, I don't feel like I need the full comprehensive program constantly. But I do pay more attention sometimes to minerals because I think those, they make up 5% of our needs, whereas vitamins are a fraction of that, like 1% or less. So I do focus on minerals and certain ones, calcium especially, magnesium, things like that, depending on if I'm eating enough dairy products to balance that out. So I'm very intuitive to what I do, but thanks for asking. That's what I take and try to be very intuitive to what I'm taking and how I feel on them.
Oh, that's fantastic. I was mentored by Pablo Arola. He's
Oh,
the guy
wow.
that turned me on to natural whole foods when I was 17.
Yeah, Are You Confused? I loved his book.
That's the book. I found it and read it, and it just turned me around. That's incredible. But I was mentored by others. I met Pauling, and I met Bernard Jensen, and I can go on and on and on. But I'm just curious, who are some of your mentors that made a strong impression on you, Jay?
Oh, wow. I really have to say a man in nutrition that impacted me due to his dynamic presence and his daughters, it was Paul Bragg and now Patricia Bragg. They really impacted me a lot. Also, from a physical perspective, along the same lines, and I know this gentleman was actually turned on to nutrition and fitness by Paul Bragg, which was Jack LaLanne. He was huge for me when I would watch him as a kid on TV. And he would go through his exercise. I said, man, this guy looks great. And he was always talking about nutrition. But that was what got me started. But besides that, going backwards, I was always impressed with the bodybuilders, especially even like you, Charles Atlas in those days. Wow, you know, what a deal that he had. And I loved all the bodybuilders of the 70s. That was where I was sparked the most because it was a visual impact that, wow, these guys are strong, muscular, and powerful. Unfortunately, the guys, I have to admit this, the people that impacted me the most during that era, I discovered after the fact that they were, you know, using steroids pretty heavily, and that kind of tainted me a little bit, but they sparked me enough that I carried through that, even though I had to kind of let it go and say, okay, these guys were on the juice, and they didn't exactly develop this through just training and diet and sunshine. But they still impacted me, Arnold included. I mean, I'm not going to deny it. He had the most impact of the bodybuilders just because of his charisma.
No doubt. We recently met Tommy Platz for the first time in Phoenix.
Oh, wow. How's he doing, Mr. Legs himself?
Well, amazing. He had a cardiac event, which he disclosed not too many people know about. It changed his life. He's cleaned up his life. He's going to maybe start competing as a natural once he gets out of that perimeter. I think they allow 5 or 7 years now. But what stories he had, Jay. I mean, yourself, I read the magazines cover to cover, and all of these, like Mike Menschner and Pete Grimkowski and Joe Gold and Arnold and on and on and on. And everyone knows this guy. He knows everybody in the field. But he's gone naturopathic. He's married a naturopath. He's gone clean. He's eating really clean, and he's healthy and strong. He's almost like, I met Lou not too long ago, and he's the same. He's going clean and natural, and they're all going that way, I guess, out of necessity.
They have to. You can't do that stuff forever.
Exactly, and it's good for our industry. So, but that brings me to my next question about education, and you're very strong on that. I was very impressed by your site because you've got books, you've got a TV show, you've got lots of articles. There's lots of information there for people to learn. And I would assume that you're thinking that if I get my consumers educated, they're going to get onto this good stuff. And isn't that the best kind of consumer is an educated one?
Yes, you're absolutely right. We discovered that early on in this particular, in the J-Rob Enterprises venture that we started 20 years ago. I even learned it back in 1980 through 84 at my first fitness club, that if I educated the bodybuilders, if I educated the people, they knew how to eat, they made the greatest changes, they actually got rewarded by having a physique that was outstanding, and it was all through education. I realized if I did a small seminar even with just 20, 30 people, it would impact them, they would impact others. So I learned very early, you know, 30 years ago, that education was the key. And we founded our current company on that particular platform. Education is critical. If people aren't educated properly, if they don't know, they cannot make an informed decision, and they will flounder, because marketing, especially in America, and advertising is so strong, you can be swayed so easily by very persuasive marketing ad or campaign or a beautiful model to do something that's not right. If you were educated, you would never do that. And so education, and especially the education of books, CDs, and things that can impact people quickly and easily, we're very fond of. So I couldn't say enough about education.
And what do you think about the public education system? Why are so many people out there sick and struggling with their weight, Jay?
I believe it's a fault from our core structure. I believe our family structure, I'll just speak for America right now, I believe our family structure has crumbled to the point where we are no longer taught as children how to eat because our families aren't teaching us anymore. America was founded by people being imported besides the Native Americans who were here who already knew how to eat. But people brought their own cuisine with them, and they knew the foods that kept them strong. They taught it to their children. They made their children eat that, and they never strayed from that because generation after generation after generation, they're strong. In America now, unfortunately, we're teaching our children from birth to not even be breastfed or to give them juice or some kind of a artificial drink in a bottle as a child to give them a sweet tooth and introducing them to junk foods and ice cream before they can hardly walk. And it's sad. And I believe the education right there has to change. We as a nation need to stand up and say, we're not going to put up with this garbage and crap that's out there. We want our children to be strong. We want a strong nation. We need to really step up to the plate. We're not going to have it in our house. We're not going to teach it to our children. And it's the parents that have to do that because they're the teachers initially. Now, once you get out of that, you've got to get into a school system that's on board. Our school system is not on board. They're getting on board, but they're slow. They need to get on board. When I grew up, we had fruit machines. By the time I got to high school, we had Coke machines. We had soft drink machines. We had coffee machines. The fruit was gone. It's horrible. And it's gotten worse. And that was many years ago. So I believe it's deteriorated because of the core foundation of families. And we need better government support. But we have such a stronghold of the junk food industries. And there's so many billions and billions and billions of dollars to educate us and persuade us to eat junk that we individually have to rise up to this. And that's where I'm at, is teaching individuals to make a choice. Not wait for the government or even their family to support them, because it's not going to happen the way I see it right now.
Your message is powerful. You need to be on national TV. You need to be on Oprah. You need to share this knowledge that you have. So do you think that there is a factor also that is responsible for suppressing that information that you have to share that's working against us and against our industry?
Money. Money is what generates lobbyists in Congress here. It generates suppression, it generates advertising to persuade people in another direction. I have a business ethic that I think is different than a lot of businesses in America. I think there's a tremendous amount of great businesses, and I think there's a lot of rotten businesses. I don't think any business model should ever be set up that is going to make a profit by doing something that harms people in any way, shape, or form. You should only have a business if it's going to help people across the board. There should not be one negative side effect out of what you do. It should be all good for the environment, for the people, for everyone. And that's my business philosophy. I want to see businesses go in that direction. I want to teach businesses to go in that direction. Because once businesses go in that direction, we cannot sell things to people that they don't need just because they want them. We can't sell things that are going to give them cancer. We can't give them things that are going to make them fat and lazy. It's horrible. Just because we know we can make a lot of money. That's horrible. I think that's the worst ethic we have. And we need to move away from that. It's a sad system.
My partner and mentor and friend, Dr. Michael Colgan, perhaps you've met him. Do you know Michael Colgan?
I know Michael, yeah.
Yeah, he calls it doing business with benevolence. And what you just said is right there for sure. As long as we hold profit up above health,
yes,
and focus on the outcome in spite of what it's doing to people, even ourselves, then we're never going to turn things around. But I really want to thank you for what you're doing. You know, our time is gone, and I want to get to the website now because I want everyone to know your website address, Jay, and so they can get to your website and order the products and see what you've got there. So tell us a little bit about your website.
Yes, the website is easy to remember because it's just myname.com, and it's jrobb.com, and I'll spell it so that you get it right, J-A-Y-R-O-B-B, so that's J-A-Y-R-O-B-B.com. A lot of information there. Please visit it. Sign up for my free email newsletter called Healthy Living. You'll get it once a month. There's no charge. We have tens of thousands of subscribers to it, and we reach out and try to educate and bring information to them. You'll find a wealth of information there. Our products and things are there also. We're here to serve people's needs, and that's what we do. If we don't serve your needs, we don't deserve your business. So go there and see what you can find, and I think you're going to love it.
That's fantastic. Jay, I want to thank you very much for your expertise, your insight, your experience in business, and your strong faith. And to see a man who is committed to not only his faith, but doing business with excellence and with benevolence is rare today. And so I would assume then that the same standards that you have for yourself and for your family and your son, I believe, are also the same that you have for your products. So we can buy your products knowing that these standards that you have are unquestionably reliable.
Yes, God told me, when we started this company, the words came to me strongly, offering only the best has to be our tagline, and that's what we've stuck with, and that's our motto, that's when we hire people. Everything that we do is offering only the best, and that we stick fast to that. We do not sway from that ever. We've refused to compromise, and it's easy to do.
Jay Robb is a clinical nutritionist, a real pioneer in this wonderful industry of health and fitness. He is an author, a CEO of a very popular and successful company, and a personal trainer. Jay, we thank you very much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure and honor. God bless you all.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent your lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik, with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.